Welcome back to Exodus on Through the Word. Exodus 29 today as God continues with the instructions for the priests, those men set apart as mediators, representing God before the people and the people before God. And things are going to get a little messy as God calls for sacrifice for consecration.
Exodus 29 is a very detailed chapter explaining how the priests were to be set apart for the Lord. The word consecrated or sanctified is used throughout the chapter. It means to make holy, to cleanse and set apart for God's use. Now the details are not particularly exciting to read, but the application is essential. The priests had a job: connect the people with their God. They represent God before the people and represent the people before God. For such a task, they must be consecrated. And if you desire to be used by God and to connect people with God, you also must be consecrated. Your consecration will look different, but there are some great lessons for us here. Verse 1. This is what you are to do to consecrate them, so they may serve me as priests. Take a young bull and two rams without defect. And from the finest wheat flour, make round loaves without yeast, thick loaves without yeast, and with olive oil mixed in, and thin loaves without yeast and brushed with olive oil. Put them in a basket and present them along with the bull and the two rams.
The first step in the process is to offer sacrifice. After dressing Aaron and his sons, Moses offers up three animal sacrifices: one bull and two goats.
Before we get into the sacrifice, it's important to know that many of these sacrifices would be made in the future and regularly. We will provide some explanation for the sacrifices as we go through this chapter, but for a deeper understanding of the purpose and symbolism of each sacrifice, check out our audio guides on the first few chapters of Leviticus, where Moses is given detailed instructions on each sacrifice. For now, this is about consecrating the high priest.
Here in our chapter today, we start with a sin offering. This offering was to atone for or cover any unforgiven sins the priests have committed. Verse 10, bring the bull to the front of the tent of meeting, and Aaron and his sons shall lay their hand on its head. Slaughter it. Slaughter it in the Lord's presence at the entrance to the tent of meeting. By placing their hands on the head of the bull as its sacrifice, the priests symbolically transfer their sins to the bull.
With the sin offering, only part of the bull is offered on the altar. Verse 13, then take all the fat of the internal organs, the long lobe of the liver, and both kidneys with the fat on them, and burn them on the altar. But burn the bull's flesh and its hide and its intestines outside the camp. It is a sin offering. Notice that no part of this animal is to be eaten, as most other offerings are. As a symbol of sin, this bull is not to be enjoyed. Rather, it is a sin-cleansing death. The majority of the animal is taken outside the camp and burned there, so as not to pollute the rest of the camp. Now, this may challenge our sensibilities, taking the life of this bull, then burning the meat and not even eating any of it. And frankly, it should challenge us. Sin steals life and separates us from God. Sin is destructive and wasteful. So much good that God provided is just lost to it. The sacrifice of this animal, with nothing to show for it, would be felt. And sin affects others. For Israel, sinful priests could destroy a nation, so their sin has to be atoned for before they can serve.
The next sacrifice is also not to be enjoyed by the people. The second offering made is a burnt offering. Verse 15. Take one of the rams, and Aaron and his sons shall lay their hand on its head. Slaughter it, and take the blood, and splash it against the sides of the altar. Cut the ram into pieces, and wash the internal organs and the legs, putting them with the head in the other pieces. Then burn the entire ram on the altar. It is a burnt offering to the Lord, a pleasing aroma, a food offering presented to the Lord.
Now this sacrifice is different from the sin offering. The entire animal is to be offered on the altar, none of it taken outside the camp. It's all for God, the burnt offering.
Chris, I gotta say I love the whole burnt offering idea, but it would drive me crazy. All that grilling, I don't get to eat any of it.
That's kind of the point. It is to be a sign of complete devotion and commitment to the Lord. It's a sacrifice. It represents the entire life of the person being dedicated to the service of God. Nothing held back for selfish gain or selfish ambition. That is the life of a priest. And that is why the priests lay their hands on the animal before it is offered.
I get it, but it would still be a tough offering.
Well, we have one more offering to go, and I think you'll enjoy this one. It's called the fellowship offering.
Right. But before we get to the fellowship part of the fellowship offering, there's one interesting part of the sacrifice of the second ram we need to discuss.
Yeah. The blood on the...
Yeah. The blood on the priests. Verse 19. Take the other ram, and Aaron and his son shall lay their hand on its head. Slaughter it, take some of its blood, and put it on the lobes of the right ears of Aaron and his sons, on the thumbs of their right hands, and on the big toes of their right feet. Then splash blood against the sides of the altar, and take some of the blood from the altar and some of the anointing oil, and sprinkle it on Aaron and his garments, and on his sons and their garments. Then he and his sons and their garments will be consecrated. So what's the deal with the sprinkling of blood?
Well, first, you got to picture this scene. This is a ceremony with impact. Every priest will remember this blood. God calls for the priests to place the blood of the sacrifice on three specific locations: the ear, the thumb, and the big toe. But why? What does it mean? There are several theories among scholars. The priest's entire body is covered by this small sign. Their ears, all that they would hear and think. The thumb, all that they do. And the big toe, everywhere they go. The priests are to be sanctified by God's sacrifice and dedicated to the service of God by the blood.
It's important to note that only after the blood is applied are the priests consecrated or made holy. It's the same today. It's only by the blood of our great sacrifice, Jesus, that we are made holy, set apart for the work God has for us.
And now for the fellowship offering. Verse 22. Take from this ram the fat tail, the fat on the internal organs, the long lobe of the liver, both kidneys with the fat on them, and the right thigh. This is the ram for the ordination. So Aaron takes a portion of this ram being offered and lifts it in his hands up to the Lord before placing them on the altar to be consumed. Then the priest has a portion set aside for him. And not just meat. For the Jews, it isn't a meal without bread. Bread is sustenance for life. So in verse 23, the basket of breads is brought in, three types, all without yeast. Some given to God on the altar, some for the priests. Many scholars see in this a symbol of Jesus, the bread of life. Without yeast means without sin. And the oil that God instructed to be put on the bread is a picture of the Holy Spirit's anointing. Now the priest may not see all that symbolism here in Exodus, but they will certainly understand what it means to break bread together with the Lord.
And the priests do have a share in this offering, both the bread and the meat. Verse 27. Consecrate those parts of the ordination ram that belong to Aaron and his sons, the breast that was waved and the thigh that was presented. This is always to be the perpetual share for the Israelites, for Aaron and his sons. It is the contribution the Israelites are to make to the Lord from their fellowship offerings. Later in Leviticus, this offering will be given more details. The Lord receives a portion, the priests receive a portion, and the Israelite offering the animal receives the rest. In a way, the Lord, the priest, and the Israelite are all sharing a meal together, thus fellowship.
Eating together is a sign of fellowship all over the world. People bond over food. We just do. In the ancient Middle East, a shared meal was a powerful statement, an expression of unity. So when the priest ate together with God and together with the people, it is a declaration. Creator God is dwelling among his people, breaking bread together, forgiving sins that separated them, healing wounded relationships. All of these are hallmarks of true fellowship.
The entire process for consecrating the priest is to take 7 days. Each day, the same process is carried out. Offerings, blood, fellowship meals. 7 is the number of completion.
And for the priest, after 7 days, and each day a reminder, your sins are atoned. Your life is fully dedicated to God. The blood is upon you, and you are in fellowship with God and with God's people. Then the high priest is officially ordained, ready to go about the service to the Lord.
And that fits with the pattern we see throughout the construction of the tabernacle. When God created the world, he created a world where man would be able to walk with God and dwell with him. On the 7th day, his work was complete. In the tabernacle, God gives Moses a pattern to follow, to create a microcosm of the universe, a place where man is once again able to dwell with God. And just as God declared at creation that all he had made was good, so on the 7th day, the high priest is declared holy, set apart for God's service.
The end of the chapter captures the heart of all of this. Verse 42, "For the generations to come, this burnt offering is to be made regularly at the entrance to the tent of meeting before the Lord. There I will meet you and speak to you. There also I will meet with the Israelites, and the place will be consecrated by my glory." Notice, this is all about God meeting with his people. The tabernacle is often called the tent of meeting because God wants to meet with his people. It's like God's conference room. Take that in for a minute. Imagine getting an invitation from the creator of the universe to meet up somewhere. How could any one place be worthy of that meeting?
That's exactly why the Lord says that the place must be consecrated. Verse 44, "So I will consecrate the tent of meeting and the altar, and will consecrate Aaron and his sons to serve me as priests." Both the place and the priests are cleansed and made holy, first by the sacrifices and ceremony, but more importantly, by God's glory. Ultimately, the Lord does the sanctifying. And that's true for us too.
And when he does, verse 45, "Then I will dwell among the Israelites and be their God. They will know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them out of Egypt so that I might dwell among them. I am the Lord their God." And what a place to close. The Lord will dwell among his people. He will be their God. How we need that today. We need to know that he is the Lord, our God, who brought us out of the world so that he might dwell among us. And to get there, to know that, we must be consecrated, sanctified, made holy by his sacrifice and his presence. And we in turn live holy. He is the Lord, our God.
That's all for this chapter. Read Exodus 29, and we'll be back for chapter 30 next time on our journey through the Word.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.